You remember U68?
Lock Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love that shit.
And The Box. I remember The Box.
But then you had to, like, call in requests and pay, right? Wasn't that, like, a whole process?
I mean, if you wanted to, but, yeah. Like, I didn't. You could just watch it.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay to watch it.
I remember as a kid getting confused and thinking when people were talking about The Box, they just meant Video Music Box. I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I was older when I realized that it was two different things. I don't think I ever
saw when you said there was a video, I had the same thing in reverse. When you said, oh, there's a documentary about Video Music Box, I was like, oh, The Box?
Yeah.
It was The Box, but it wasn't. So I don't think I've actually ever watched Video Music Box, but it was still a very fascinating documentary to watch. And I regret it because it looks so cool. It looks like a hip-hop metal industry.
Whenever I'd walk the streets as a little kid and I'd see like a burly homeless guy coming through, I'd wonder if it was Crazy Sam. And it never was. I was always very disappointed, but I was just like, well, maybe this time. But he's not filming in my neighborhood.
About a few neighborhoods over, he might have been.
Yeah. Probably like a couple stops on the queue.
Or even on the... Hop on that B-44.
Yeah.
A few stops. There. Great, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go! What do YouTube?
Blog Talk?
I'm connected to Blog Talk. Go!
Nephew, who never calls anymore.
Yeah, I'm good.
Rob, what during the show, do you keep an eye on the Discord also for comments or just the YouTube?
Do not keep an eye on the Discord.
Okay, so I'll do that. Because like the last few weeks, there have been comments in there, and I just figured you were seeing them and just didn't think they were worth saying. But okay, if you're not looking there, I'll
let me... I'll just keep it open.
That's fine. I mean, you don't have to have one extra thing to do. I'll just do that.
Oh, wow. We didn't even get to that Vince Neil thing last week.
Yeah. It's a bunch of stuff.
All right. Everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
Recording in progress.
Go.
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA livecast. Kid Rock is very upset that people don't like his new song about being canceled. Unfortunately, he made this statement online, where his fans will never see it because they are an average age of 63 years old and can't figure out the computer without the help of their nephew, who never calls anymore. Hey kid, have you considered mailing your complaints in a veil pack? Then your fans can read about how mad you are about being canceled, while clipping coupons for fiber supplements. Our IP live cast starts now.
Say it sexy, Shannon.
Oh.
Valpak.
There's no way to make a Valpak sexy. It just is.
I think Shannon did it.
She's sexy. She's just like 99% sexy when she's talking about a Valpak.
Do Valpaks ever have like coupons for sex shops in them?
I haven't seen one, but you know, that's a market that can be tapped, Sid.
Oh,
there's plenty to tap it.
Old people love sex, you know. They just can't get any. They need direction.
Well, I mean, I get a Valpak. I'm not that old.
You just...
Hate to break it to you, Sid.
Yeah. You're getting
you
up
are.
There, man.
Yeah.
Listen to Rob, the youngest person on the show by like 4 years, is talking mad shit now.
Son of a bitch.
I'm feeling very old myself. I got a prescription for blood pressure medication this week.
Oh,
so.
Shit.
Really?
The party is on.
How dire are we talking about here? You got like serious serious condition? Or?
No. It's just, it's been high consistently for a little
bit. Very on brand for you.
So it's... I asked apparently, my doctor claims, and I choose to believe her, that marijuana does not have an effect on blood pressure.
I would think, if anything, it lowers it.
But, so yeah.
So imagine how much higher it would be if you didn't smoke weed.
It's a very small dose of like it's like the most basic ass dose.
Any side effects?
It's like a one hitter of blood pressure medication.
Yeah, exactly. We're old and we're here on RIPL Livecast. Thank you for joining us. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
Say hello, Sid. And Darren.
Hi.
And you can be a part of the show. Give us a ring. 213-WIDENUT. That's 213-943-3688. If you listen to the archive and we say something and you want to contribute, you can always email us. hatemail@metalinjection.net. And got a lot of fun stuff to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have a chat room going. Lots of fun. But
YouTube chat, there's a Discord.
That's right. And I think we're going to try to start a Twitch soon. I feel like if I say it, I might actually do it. So, because I've been slacking on it. But yeah, we're going to
start a Slack soon also.
Well, but I feel like Discord is basically a Slack. It's very similar. So,
all right.
We're not assigning tasks to our Metal Injection Livecast stars or RIPL Livecast stars.
You should put them to work for us at this point. Why not?
Well, Kid Rock needs somebody to be put to work, maybe like a PR assistant.
Oh, boy.
After this latest statement that he made. We've been talking about a song the last few weeks. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. I can do my 9/11 Jarl. No, I do love the song. And someone mentioned to me that, like, so the song features a Canadian outlaw country band, Monster Truck. And what I didn't realize is he basically did the same thing he did with Metallica's Sad But True, which is he took Sad But True and then just rapped over it and said it was his song.
Oh.
Yeah. So Monster Truck put out a song like 2 years ago, Can't Tell Me How to Live. So it's basically the song without the Kid Rock parts. And I have to say, I don't like it as much. All the shitty Kid Rock, all the dumb raps and the posturing, I think that's what really makes the song for me. Like, it's hilarious. It's ironic.
Yeah, it's just the mediocrity without it.
Yeah, without it, the hook, I think it's a good hook. But it doesn't stand out as much when the whole song sounds like the hook. I think
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think because the rest of the song kind of is beneath the hook, it elevates the hook to greater heights than if Kid Rock wasn't on the song.
Well, let me ask you, since you're now a Monster Truck aestheticist, what is the surrounding song about since it's not about Kid Rock and cancel culture? About cancel culture?
Let me pull up the lyrics because I mean
this is very exciting.
Hold on.
Do it in your best Canadian accent.
I am the story of a man who makes his way on his own. Don't need no kind of direction from no one. I got myself a pretty old soul. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. I'm a giant of a man. I do what I please. I got respect for all that's around me and expect the same from me. Wait, you're not going to tell me how to live, but I'm going to respect everything around me. So go ahead, do what you want, whatever you release. I'm just looking for a little quiet and my own kind of peace. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live.
Seems like it's very disjoint from what the chorus is to what the lyrics are. It's just like, hey, I don't want to bother anybody.
It's not the chorus. The chorus is, oh, I'm going to soar like an eagle. My wings will carry me away. I got the heart of a lion, and I get stronger every day.
Well, this is all over the map. I feel like it's at one point he's like just on a rocking chair on a porch sipping lemonade, and then he's soaring like an eagle over the Grand Canyon.
I like the finer things in life. At least what's fine to me. Like Cracker Barrel.
Oh.
No.
Now he's like Doja Cat.
I got music and people to love. That sure does suit my needs. Yeah. Singing that song with my baby doll and a little bit of weed. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. I'm going to soar like an eagle. My wings will carry me away. I got the heart of a lion, and I get stronger every day. And then he would be.
Jesus fucking Christ. But I guess this is more of just like a you stick to your shit, I'll stick to mine kind of message, as opposed to I'm going to tell you liberals what's what kind of message.
Yeah.
So
right,
they're
and
nice
also
Canadian version.
Yeah, and to be fair, after what's so funny is after the song came out, I believe Monster Truck released a statement.
Oh boy,
like basically saying what you're saying, Sid. Like, hey, relax. Like, I don't endorse anything Kid Rock has said. Like, I'm staying in my lane, doing my thing. Something like
but
that. Basically,
did
let
they
me
have
find
to
it.
Approve the lyrics of Kid
He's
Rock's
in the
version.
Fucking video.
Yeah,
he's there.
So, like, they clearly are at least tacitly endorsing what he's saying by allowing him to use the song.
Let me, it's hard to, like, this SEO, it's not very SEO.
We're just Canadians, we're people pleasers. We wanted to turn him down, but we tried to be nice. So, like, that's
oh, okay, here we go.
I guess the take.
So, what happened was, so Danko Jones.
Oh, of course.
We might have mentioned him. He's a Canadian rock musician, hard rocker.
What's your favorite Danko Jones track, bro? top three.
He just likes it because the word dank is in his name.
It's so hard to pick one. All of his songs are so good. I like them all equally. No, I don't really follow Danko Jones. It's a little out of the metal sphere. But
all right,
should be a benefit.
Basquiat.
He's half black, so he's
Watch
very
your words,
quick,
Rob.
He's very quick to call out racism and just, you know, he's been very open about, you know, like just outward about it, if that makes sense, of just like calling out racism and just like having no tolerance for it. So he called out Monster Truck for collaborating with Kid Rock and saying he basically thinks that like it's disappointing. He said disappointed to hear a certain band on a song with a certain musician who has been so public with his MAGA politics, including uttering the phrase "fuck Colin Kaepernick" during a live performance. It's tantamount to standing in solidarity with him. Gross. And the video of them posing as rednecks in fur coats is fucking embarrassing. Disappointed and embarrassed for that band. So he's talking about Monster Truck here.
It's weird that he wouldn't just call them out by name when then he goes on to say such specific things and say it's fun. Like, just use their name at that point. Like, what? You're calling out specifically what they're wearing in the fuck. You're like, no, who you're talking about. Just say it. It's okay.
He likes to encourage Googling.
Yeah, that's right.
So then Monster Truck was offended that Danko Jones was offended. let me find his statement.
It's just offended all the way down.
Monster Truck is one man.
I guess the front man, it's like Alice Cooper. The band is Alice Cooper and the front man is Alice Cooper.
So the guy's name is Monster Truck and the band
is
called Monster Truck?
Let's see. His name is...
Wait, is it just
John Harvey.
John Harvey. Is it a Monster Truck, like, playing the music? Because that would explain
no.
why it sucks.
So he says, I don't want to come across the wrong way, but it feels a little opportunistic to me. It also feels like he's a very angry person. I don't subscribe to that, and I'm not an angry person.
Hey,
and it feels like... He got...
John Harvey, don't tell Danko Jones how to live, please.
That's right.
Also, isn't that kind of like a racist trope that like whenever a black person, like the angry black man kind of trope, like, hey,
yes.
Settle down.
Yeah. Yes.
And to me, it feels like he kind of gets angry about a lot of things. As far as personal attack goes, I've never met this guy in my life. I have no ideas what his values are and what his beliefs are, and nor do I care because that's his problem and his business. But yeah, man, he went after me, didn't he? That's my whole thing about it. This guy is upset because he thinks the song promotes hate, and he's getting that out by hating it. It's
yes.
the most contradictory, hypocritical thing I've ever experienced. What?
He should love the song if he hates that it's hateful.
Yeah. He really went after you by stating true factual things that you did and observing what they were. Terrible.
Yeah, how dare
you. It just goes to prove a theory that I've had for a long time, which is that there's no racial slur, there's no word that you could diminish white people with that will affect them in any way that's equivalent to the N-word, except racist.
Yeah.
They are, hate to be fucking called racist. And if you do that, it's the only thing that, a non-white person can say to a white person that will just the word itself will make them go apeshit. That's great. But I love it.
He continues, and I'm just like, man, okay. And then next week he'll be mad about something else James Hetfield did or something else someone else did. It's like, buddy, just simmer down. Oof.
Oh, Jesus Oof. Christ.
You got some shit to short. Some shit to sort.
Some shit to short.
Some knock-around sort.
And it's an opportunity. That's the issue I have with it. It's like he could have said nothing and just kept going with his life, but instead he's putting stuff out there and putting that hate out there, and it's creating an opportunity for – that's so weird to me that he's criticizing Danko Jones for putting out hate when the entire song he did with Kid Rock is him hating his haters. Like the Kid Rock song is
putting
out hate.
But he's saying that's not my part of the song. That's not about me, man.
But also
I didn't do that.
Isn't Danko Jones one of the haters, too, that he's talking about? So it seems like it lines up with the song.
Here's the best part. I never called anyone a piece of shit to their face, I don't think, in real life. The dude didn't even use my name, didn't use my band name, and he said these harsh things to me. Excuse me. Personally. I don't know, man. I'm really hurt by that. It's super offensive. My mom's going to read that article, and other people are, and this guy gets...
What
guy
article?
Is really paying me out to be something. He's got no idea what I'm like. He's got no idea what my friends and family are like. It's some pretty harsh shit.
My mom is going to read that article and read all the factual things that were said about me that are easily Googleable.
I think Monster Truck's mom is a big lamb goat reader. I think that's what it is.
What is Mrs. Truck's given name?
I believe she's Monster Truck.
Monster Truck.
So we haven't even gotten to the main event, which is, of course, Kid Rock's statement.
He also called out Danko Jones.
Go fire up MySpace and see what he said.
This was on his Facebook page, in fact.
He would be still on there.
Yep.
Metal Injection and RIP Life Guest is still on there.
When are they going to become Meta?
Meta is the umbrella company. They're already Meta.
So they're not changing the actual Facebook platform to Meta?
No, the corporate entity that owns Facebook used to be called Facebook. Now it's called Meta.
So why do we all need to know that with like an ad campaign if it's not?
Yeah,
it's just the umbrella.
I have no idea why there needs to be an ad campaign.
I think they're also starting
the push on the Meta universe, like they're on virtual reality. So that's why they're kind of seeding that word.
Yes.
It's like Second Life.
Again. Yeah.
Great. Is it really? Is that what Meta Universe is?
Yeah, the Metaverse.
So it's like you just go in there and you have an alter ego and you just interact.
You have an avatar.
People.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be, you know, like all your NFTs could be there. You could have your NFTs on display.
All of my NFTs?
All of your NFTs. You could buy virtual goods from Nike and have like, you could pay like $100 for virtual Jordans that your avatar wears.
So it's like
some bullshit like that.
It's like Ready Player One, but even shittier.
Oh.
I haven't seen Ready Player One.
Oh my God.
It's where that might be a Patreon watch along. That's
I'm so down.
It's legit one of the two or three worst movies I've ever seen in the theater.
Fucking awful.
Easily.
Wow,
it's fucking Steven Spielberg.
It's like, remember what Space Jam did with all the properties?
Yes.
They're all standing in the background. That, except if those properties were in the middle of the fucking movie and not standing watching a basketball game.
So they interact with these properties.
Yes.
That's
the
my least favorite trope of new films that require knowledge outside of their universe to bring into the universe.
Based on a book.
Hack!
In a just world, that movie would be the rock bottom where everyone would wake up and go, what are we doing with movies right now? But it wasn't. Of course, it went deeper into the ground after that.
People saw that movie and were like, Yeah, Spielberg's still on the ball. Let's let him remake West Side Story. That's going to make a ton of money.
I can't even see that. You know, my gut feeling, and I have no way to justify this, but my gut feeling is Steven Spielberg walked onto the set. He directed the human beings that were in like 8% of that movie. And then he left and he's like, all right, you guys handle it. And then they threw all the CGI in. And I think he had very little involvement.
Yeah, Disney agrees with you guys because there's been virtually no marketing for the movie. It's been totally buried under Spider-Man or whatever.
Oh, the West Side Story,
movie,
you mean?
Yeah, West Side Story and the Del Toro movie. What is it?
Nightmare Alley?
Nightmare Alley, yeah.
Is that in wide release yet, though?
I don't know. Christmas release. Barely any marketing.
I think that one will do fine for what it's expected.
I'm curious about that one.
The reviews are very good for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great director. So.
The West Side Story is like already like a huge failure, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't even really like the first one, but it's just like, why do we need another one anyway?
I guess you don't want to live in America.
No, it's got some good songs and some good things to it. It's not my favorite musical. What's your favorite?
Did we talk about this? Yeah, we did.
Jesus Christ Superstar, probably, I would say.
I
like so many. It's hard to pick.
So from back to
Music Man,
a real Jesus Christ Superstar. So here's his statement.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
I want to mention that, like, he got even roasted. Like, Weird Al even got in on the roasting. He released a statement to say that the song is not a Weird Al parody, that he had nothing to do with it. Actually, the Weird Al tweet was, to everybody that's congratulating me right now on my new Kid Rock parody video, let me clarify, that's not me. That's actually Kid Rock.
You see, the thing is, I'm on board with the bit. It's a funny joke, but in reality, it's so bad I wouldn't even think it was a parody.
Yeah.
Weird Al, by Weird Al.
Right, yeah. Weird Al's comedic standards are much better than that.
Yes.
So Kid Rock writes, all you pansy-ass woke critics and trolls are exactly what brought me to create Don't Tell Me How to Live. And by create, he means just copy and paste the song and add some rap verses to it.
Oh, you say my music is shitty? Well, guess what, folks? More shitty music coming your way.
Kid Rock continues, thank you for all the inspiration. Keep shoveling coal on the fire, you idiots.
Coal. Has to be coal, of course. But...
I fucking love it. To the Kid Rock dysfunctional family. I didn't realize that's like a name for like, you know, his version of Juggalos.
Yes,
the Juggalos. Kid Rock dysfunctional family. We already know there is no tribe like ours in music, comma, period, and then a period.
all of his tribe need geritol.
Stay tuned for more songs to be released soon, an album early next year, and God willing, a monster 2022 tour announcement.
Yeah. Big holes everywhere.
Merry Christmas, Kid Rock, # no sellout. P.S. This is where the comedy really comes in. P.S. Remember, sticks and stones may break my bones. Whatever happened to that shit? Quit being so damn offended. Toughen up and enjoy life. It's weird that he says that when the prior three paragraphs are him being offended. He's
being a pussy.
These
his
sticks
whole
and stone,
impetus
like,
for writing the song was him being offended.
Yeah. So he continues, quit being so damn offended. Toughen up and enjoy life. We all know the media, social and mainstream, are completely out of hand. And only in the business of clicks and views nowadays. Well, aren't you only in the business of listens nowadays? Like, aren't you doing the exact same thing with your song?
Political revolution.
No, but he stands for truth, Rob.
Yeah.
Here he comes. Don't take the bait anymore. And this is my favorite line. Do some research and seek truth. Or fuck it. Just ignore him and rock harder.
Yeah.
Put that on a bumper sticker. Do some research and seek the truth. Or fuck it. Just ignore them and rock harder.
I like it. Truth or fuck it. That'll fit. That'll fit a bumper.
Or if you have a monster truck, you could fit the whole thing.
You know what? I think we're going to start printing truth or fuck it shirts. That's it. We're going to take over Kid Rock's market share.
He should just have one that says fucking cancel culture. How does that work?
Maybe another shirt we have is tell me how to live. Please tell me how to live.
There's somebody gonna tell me how to live.
Will somebody please tell me how to live?
He could do like an advice column.
Yeah. Kid Rock tells you how to live.
Yeah.
I love it.
Dumb prick.
It is really funny. Like, how did he think that people wouldn't read that and just see how butthurt he is? Like, he comes off so butthurt.
Well, it's that white guy, like, a lot, you know, he has a lot of money, but your average random white guy's in the same boat, like, ideologically, like, they're just sheltered from any criticism for 50 years. And now there's the internet that didn't exist. You know, you could, you know, before 30 years ago, you can just go through an 80-year life and never encounter someone telling you that your views are fucking stupid because you never go outside the 8-block radius of your fucking house. And now there's the internet. So they all have Facebook. They all have Twitter. And they say the same stupid shit they've been saying for 250 years. But now somebody gets to fire back and go, no, you're a fucking dumb fuck.
Yeah.
And they get offended. So it's like it's like a baby crawling out of the crib for the first time and experiencing stimuli, you know? They get really whiny and cry baby-ish.
Now I'm picturing Kid Rock in a diaper. Like a little... pacifier.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me when to poop. Oh. Oh, man.
That's call him Kid, I guess.
It's just gonna be stuck in my head now the whole night.
I mean, it always is. You love that song.
I mean, I've been pretty good the last few weeks of not having it stuck in my head, but
are you going to try to get guest list for the Kid Rock tour next year?
No, no.
You're going to pay. You like it so much, you want to pay full price.
I was never really that big of a Kid Rock guy, even in my new metal phase. Like, I liked Bar with the Bar.
Bar with the Bar. You have to
and, of course,
with
American
the
Badass. You loved
American
Badass.
No, I did like American Badass. I wasn't really a fan of it because I like Sad But True, at that time in particular, was one of my favorite Metallica songs. And it was just like, you made one of my favorite songs worse, kind of.
And they also made one of your favorite wrestlers worse with that song. Exactly.
I much preferred when Undertaker came out to Roland.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Well, you brought up Limp Bizkit, and I feel like Limp Bizkit is like a better Kid Rock. Like, there are, Rob, I know we joke about this stuff all the time, but there are legitimately good Limp Bizkit songs. Like, they're cringy.
They're
cringy as fuck, but they're bangers. There are no good Kid Rock songs. Like, none.
Ba with the Ba is all right.
The fucking name of it is Ba with the Ba.
The bang, that bang. Yeah, it's silly. It's silly.
It's
no.
Just cultural appropriation right in the fucking title.
That's true.
The Bull God. Did you like that one, Rob? Were you ever a Bull God?
I didn't know that.
That song's actually not bad. I really
like Scottie Pippen.
It goes like, I am the bull god, I am free, right? It's kind of like an SCP ripoff almost. Now that I think it out loud, everything I like about him is like, oh, he's taking good things about other artists that I like.
Yeah, leaving on a Southern train. Yeah, motherfucker, up, Kid Rock. Only yesterday.
I will say, I've been actually listening to Korn a bunch lately, and Korn still fuck. I always, like, even when I stopped liking new metal, I always had a special place in my heart for Korn. Not really so much into newer stuff, but the first four albums, they fuck.
Never. Never, buddy. Never could. Yeah. Never could do it.
Maybe I'll put a song on the playlist next week.
Oh, dear. I might have to veto that.
What I don't like about Korn is his voice modulation. Like, he's doing it in a very affected voice, and it just seems very fake. You pick up what I'm saying there?
I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Like, his whining. Like,
No one talks about that. I don't know.
But what he does, but his scream is really good.
Screams, he's got a talent. He's talented. He's a talented singer.
Yeah.
I just think it's affected. That's what I'm saying.
Do you like Korn? Do you still listen to them? Give us a ring-a-ding-ding. 213 Wide Nut is the number.
Leroy, I think Rob's talking to you.
213-943-3688.
Question.
Come on!
Sorry, you just mentioned Limp Bizkit. And you want to preview what we're doing for the next month's Patreon offering?
Oh, yeah. We still have about 9 or 10 days. 10 days,
I guess. It's a tease, but I'm so excited about it, how good it came out.
We did a watch-along of the new Fred Durst movie, The Fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, The Relative. Yeah, it's 2019 movie, The Fanatic, starring John Travolta. And during the piece, I thought it might have been the worst movie we ever saw, but I was quickly reminded it wasn't, but it's up there.
It's
in the discussion for sure. It was very bad. It was a very bad movie, but the perfect, I think the worse the movie is, the better the watch along have, because then we like don't need to pay much attention and we could just riff on how terrible it is as opposed to when the movie is good and we actually want to pay attention and follow along.
I will say this movie, this episode of our show had more riffs quantity than any other one we've done. It was like rapid fire. And I thought it came out great.
And I feel like the good thing is that like we didn't feel obligated to pause the movie every time we were riffing because we're not missing anything. We could just talk right over. This is fine.
Yeah. So no spoilers, but it's just it needs to be seen to be believed.
Yeah.
It really does. And I'm so I can't even wait for 10 days for people to see this or whatever it is. 11 days.
So that's going to go up on January 1st. And if you want to hit up our Patreon, might as well do the plug right now. Patreon.com/RIP Alivecast. Up now, you can watch right now. We have we do two bonus episodes a month. And we have, for this month, we have a watch along of the movie Hellaware. That's the movie where the drop cut your dick off and we're cut your dick off. That's where that comes from. So we watched the whole movie, which also not the best movie, more watchable than The Fanatic, but little all over the place, but we had a really, really fun time watching it, I think, and riffing on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the top of the month, we did another in our series of the RIP Alivecast Meme Hall of Fame, where we induct some of our favorite podcast memes from over the years, and we revisit them and just offer a new perspective on them. And so this month, we inducted your boy Bangs. We inducted the 9/11 Never Forget song, and we inducted the It Don't Fucking Match guy, and we really, really got to know the It Don't Fucking Match guy on his social media, found out where he works, found his social security number. No, it's not that far, but
that one does match on lots of his accounts.
And we have a ton of great bonus episodes in the archives. Last month, we did a watch-along of Cube 2 Hypercube and Escape the Undertaker, the new Netflix movie with the New Day, which was so silly. I think we had a really, really fun time riffing on that. We also did, 2 months ago, we did a Thrash It or Trash It of every song on the Metallica Blacklist cover album. So we did like 50 Thrash It or Trash Its. Some of them were brutal. So that's all in our Patreon, including video versions of our weekly free episodes. Sid has a column called TV Talk. He recommends some TV shows to watch.
There's so many.
And lots of fun stuff.
And then sometimes I also follow up with Rob about those shows to make sure he watches them. And then he goes down rabbit holes of street artists and makes that his background.
That's true. That's true. Sid recommended I watch an incredible documentary on Showtime called The Individualist. It's about photographer Ricky Powell, who is a New York street photographer who came up in the 80s and ended up touring with the Beastie Boys and Run DMC and taking all these famous photos that you've absolutely seen all over the place. And in the documentary, he mentions how he shot photos of Basquiat, and it just sent me down a massive rabbit hole of looking up Basquiat info. So that was pretty interesting. Like, I learned that Basquiat went to the same high school as me.
Not at the same time, though.
Yeah, about 20 or 30 years before me. So, yeah, he died when I was 3 years old. So I don't think we had a chance to interact.
Did he die before or after Uncle Gamma?
Before. Uncle Gamma died when I was like 10, 9 or 10.
What a tough childhood for you. First you lose Basquiat before you really get to know him.
My grandpa died when I was 5. That was pretty tough.
Oh. Did you push him down a flight of stairs?
No, he had a heart attack.
From you threatening to push him down a flight of stairs?
From me throwing him down the stairs, yeah. Is that right?
Sorry. Do you still go visit his grave?
Yeah.
Where is he buried?
Where everyone's buried in Brooklyn. Same old fucking cemetery.
That's at Hearst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going over there.
How come you never invite me?
You want to go
Wait
see
a minute, isn't that where your iPhone was robbed that time? Where your iPod was by that cemetery?
Yeah, but in a different part. Yeah, but it's like a half a mile away.
You should have told them. Like, my grandfather is buried here. Have some fucking respect, and they would have left.
And my grandmother, both of them, buried right next to each other.
So, were you visiting them?
No.
Did you think to visit them after?
No, I just wanted to go home. I was embarrassed. And I had no money.
You have to pay admission to get into the cemetery? What does that have to do with anything?
Who knows? Sometimes you want to leave a few dollars for your dead relatives.
What? Is that a custom? I think they tricked you, man.
I don't know. But it was really interesting learning about Basquiat. And also, what's so funny is, I guess there's a bunch of controversy now because a few of his paintings surfaced that have never been seen before. One of them was purchased by Tiffany's, and it showed up in an ad campaign with Jay-Z and Beyoncé, and she was wearing like a blood diamond in the photo, and it's like, this is completely antithesis to what
Basquiat
was trying to do.
Gave a fuck about blood diamonds? I don't know that he would have been offended. Why would he have cared?
Well, I think he kind of looked down on rich people as much. Like, it was like a dichotomy. Like, he wanted to be rich but hated rich people kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
It was a very Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
But I was reading, though, like, for example, he OD'd on heroin. It was an accident. What's interesting is he would haul limos. You'd ride around in limos, and the main reason is because he couldn't haul a taxi. No taxi would stop for him.
Hail? Hail a taxi?
Hail. Or haul. Yeah, hail. Hail a taxi.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Darren, did you know Basquiat?
Personally?
Yeah, we were tight. Yeah, back in the days.
Yeah.
What are you really asking me? Did I know?
No, nothing. Oh. I just wanted to see if you were... You were with us.
I'm right here. What do you mean if I was with you? I just didn't have anything to add to that. I was letting you expound on your vast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I downloaded I watched a PBS documentary about him, which I'm like, who the fuck? I'm watching PBS documentaries now? But it was actually very enlightening because I spent the whole day reading about him, and then it actually had footage of all the stuff that I'd read about, and he started working with Andy Warhol, and there's photos of him bringing Andy Warhol to his house for dinner, and it's maybe the most hilariously awkward photo I've seen. Wait, I actually sent it, I believe, to Sid. I might have it. Hold on.
Yeah. You know, you start watching PBS, it's a slippery slope to NPR, man.
I can't stand NPR, so you don't have to worry about that. I try listening
to now. Too. You prime the pump with the PBS, and then you start getting into NPR pieces.
Well, if they cover interesting characters and topics.
Oh, I'm sure they've got plenty of little features on Basquiat for you, Rob.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I feel like at this point, I've consumed all the knowledge.
But NPR is like MTV with ridiculousness. They just do Basquiat like 23 and a half hours a day.
is that
they got that show, This American Basquiat?
They even have a sitcom now with Zach Galifianakis. It's called Basquiat. Any way you can do Basquiat, they'll do it.
Scampi.
Basquiat Scampi. He's a little scamp.
If we made Basquiat Scampi the episode title, would that be the weirdest, randomest episode title we've ever done?
I'd have to look, but yeah, it's got to be top 5 or 10, at least.
I'm going to throw it in the mix.
Here's the photo of Andy Warhol, Basquiat, and Basquiat's dad.
Oh.
And his dad is being like, what?
I thought his dad was Pedro Martinez.
I see it. And Andy Warhol looks super uncomfortable in every photo he's ever been in.
Yeah.
Like, he just is.
Par for the course for him.
Corpse face.
Get this over with. Please take the picture. Right?
Whose hand is this on me? Get off.
I don't like being touched. He didn't like being touched. That was his thing.
Pedro. You see the sign of baseball or something. Hello, papi. Welcome to my crib.
Yeah, and the Ricky Powell doc was really, really good. Just going back to that, the street photographer, because there was so many great photos of 80s New York and just great footage of 80s New York. And in addition to my Basquiat rabbit hole, I went down a Ricky Powell rabbit hole, and one of his gimmicks is he would go around and do slideshows of some of his famous photos and kind of tell stories about them. And one of the photos in his slideshow that he took was a photo of a few members of the Wu-Tang Clan. It was Ghostface, RZA, and GZA. And it's like a very smoky room. And he's telling the story. And he's like, yeah, you see that smoke? Yeah, that was me. I lit up a joint and I start passing it around. And I'm like, and I got to say, I just remember like thinking like, yo, have these guys ever smoked a joint before? Because they're just fucking standing, holding it and talking. It's like, bro, I didn't bring that from my house for you to hold it. Like, pass that shit. And I just couldn't believe that anyone is calling out Wu-Tang Clan on their weed etiquette. But if anyone could do it, I believe it's Ricky Powell, because in this documentary, people said that, like, Ricky knew good weed before people knew good weed was a thing. And that, like, Ricky had the chronic before Dr. Dre even wrote the chronic or something like that.
Yeah. So, I think LL Cool J is the one who says that in the doc.
So it's like if anybody has this point of view, it's this guy. So that's a recommendation from me and Sid.
It's just a fantastic window into old New York. And his mom is like featured in the movie. And she's like just classic New York City wacko lady who you think, is this person homeless? Are they just a crazy millionaire? Like, it could be anything. It's just like this random, like, street urchin elderly woman on the street. It's just,
and what's so amazing is, like, the documentary as a film, it's beautifully done. It tells, like, it has a great narrative arc. You're on the journey the whole way. And so they've sort of built up his mom as this mythical character. And then she just shows up in the film and you're just like, you're like, oh,
my God, she's real.
Her? She's alive.
And she's even weirder than they described her.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild. It's great.
It's so good. It's so, so good. If you like old New York or like classic hip hop stuff, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I got to tell you another show that's it's already quite old by now, but it's Kimmy Schmidt that has a lot of stuff that's old New York. In fact, like Carol Kane just plays an old grizzled woman, just
that,
like you described.
Ricky Powell's mom is like that Carol Kane character, like 20 years later.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like just left to unmedicated and left to her own devices for an extra few decades. That's what she ends up. That's 100% that character arc. Yes.
That show really made me like hooked me in with that New York stuff. You know, it's in the present day. It's shot. It takes place, but a lot of the characters are just old New York people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I like about the Carol Kane character is that she's basically like, oh, you damn hipsters, get out of here, but I'll overcharge you rent because I can get away with it.
I'm going to take advantage while I can. Yeah, that's what they're
there
for.
No, she's great. She's a great actress, though, in general. She brought a lot to that role. And you can bring a little bit to the metal or the RIP Alive cast. No longer the Metal Injection Live cast. Give us a ring a ding ding. 213-WIDENUT. 213-943-3688.
Gotta put a dollar in the swear jar.
That's right.
Fair. I wanna mention there was a story a few weeks back that I posted, and I'm going to be honest, the main reason I posted the story is because the headline was like, it's not necessarily clickbait, but it's comment bait. The headline is so open-ended, it allows plenty of riffs.
Yeah.
So the headline of the story is, Vince Neil has something that no one else has. Wait, Vince Neil, quote, has something no one else has, end quote, according to Nikki Six.
Angina.
See, there you go. It's very open-ended. It allows you to.
I remember, like, within 30 seconds of Rob posting that, I had, like, three different riffs. Go on. I'm going to go try to find them.
So the quote from – let's see, okay, so here it is. Here's the quote in context.
This is what he really has, and then we're going to make jokes on it.
I'm not a great player, says Nikki Six. Like, if I really would shed for 6 months, I'm okay. But if I was a different kind of bass player, it would offset the sound of the band. Motley Crue is an interesting band because if you remove any one member, it completely changes the sound. We all play against each other. A lot of times, Vince would tell me he struggled with the fact that I put so many lyrics in a song. Can you get me singing less, please, buddy? Okay, anyway, he continues, Shout at the Devil is a good example, but it was because I grew up with the best generation writers as a teenager, and I would get into this kind of rhythmic frenzy. And because of the way Vince sang, that was what made his voice excel. His voice was kind of like a Gatling gun, like bap, bap, bap. I remember the first time the four of us played together.
Exactly what a Gatling gun sounds like, by the way.
I turned around to adjust my bass amp, and Tommy and I just gave each other a look. Something's happening here.
Yeah, this old man is having contortions. Oh, wait, he's only 20 at this point.
Oh, and this quote actually started, they're all really fucking good. Tommy is a monster on drums. Mick is one of my favorite guitar players. And Vince has something that nobody else has. Isn't that what you're looking for? Guys that don't sound like anybody else? So that was the thing.
That didn't provide any context. I still don't know what he has.
My three guesses, COVID-22, hepatitis D, or stupid AIDS. Those are my three.
He's got a certain je ne sais quoi, is what Nikki Six is saying.
That's French for funk. Ass funk.
It's French for I don't know what.
It's French for vehicular manslaughter convictions.
He's got a speech pathology, so that when he tries to sing lyrics, you don't know what that sounds like, a baby babbling.
Ball with the ball, that's where that came
ball
from.
Ball with the ball, baby. It's my cameo. Thank you. $400, please.
Is he still doing that, or is he off the cameo since he fell in that?
He hasn't done one since all the backlash. So here's some of the comments Metal Injection readers commented on my headline.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Neil has something no one else has. All the chicken? Is it a cholesterol level that could kill any normal man? Is it a fat belly and the money to get a trainer but still doesn't?
Oh.
That's a rare comment.
A voracious appetite for food?
Other people have that.
Yeah.
And then Vince Neil has something no one else has. Definitely not a treadmill.
He has it. He just keeps his shot glasses on it.
If the answer is a rotund gut, I'm sorry, bud, but other people have that too.
Yeah. Exactly.
This guy.
an astonishing lack of lung capacity.
Oh, damn.
That's all lies because herpes is actually quite common.
But he has super herpes.
That's right. He's got Omicron herpes.
Yeah, it's airborne.
Diabetes isn't that rare. Neither is alcoholism.
Oh, super herpes, just go. Omicron herpes just leads from crotch to crotch without sexual contact.
Stretch marks on his eyes?
No, I dispute that because he doesn't open his eyes. So how would they stretch?
They've been Botoxed all the way down.
Oh, okay.
A very portable BBQ because he's always ready for a triple stack burger.
These are so specific. Like, could you imagine him reading this? Thankfully, his eyes can't open because if they could, he'd read this and kill himself. This is rough.
He'd just get in the passenger seat and drive at the same time somehow. That's the only way he could kill himself. It's the most creative way.
Or just walk on any stage. Listen to nature take its course.
An increased chance of cardiac arrest?
I have one that he has that nobody else has. You want to hear it?
Yes.
The unbearable burden of guilt from killing another human being named Zazzle.
Razzle.
Doesn't matter.
It still works. And Rod, you don't know that he hasn't killed somebody named Zazzle, too?
Right, exactly.
The
but
killing
that's my
of
point. Many people have guilty consciences from having killed a human being, but are any of them named Razzle? That's something he has that no one else has.
It's true. Oh, my God.
All right, we got a caller.
Ooh,
maybe it's Vince Neil. 213 Wide Nut is the number. Area code 602. You're on the Metal Injection Livecast. What's up?
What does Vince Neil have that no one else has?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I came to sup and listen, but you pulled me out to the forefront, so I have the Spirit of God. I have the Holy Spirit. We're going into Christmas. Time to make a change. Period.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. I couldn't agree more. What are your top three changes that need to be made for the new year 2022?
Stop dealing with fake people. Stop dealing with people who think they know and don't know. And stop dealing with people who don't. Willing to listen, period.
Yeah. I agree with all of those.
And now, what are your top three favorite Danko Jones tracks?
I don't have a top three. I don't even know the artist. I've been in the industry for 20 years. I've come from radio. Google my name. Pastor Don Jr. CEO. I have Barack Obama get elected. I have Ruben Sutter get stuff out there. I can't listen to these new artists because they don't understand the camaraderie of the DJs who's actually playing their music. They don't throw y'all no cash out or nothing. They just like play my stuff. And it's different. I come from the old school.
Yeah, I'm
So what artists do you like? You don't like the new artists. Who are you into?
Who I'm into? I'm definitely a Tupac fan, Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas. I mean, music is my connoisseur. Now, you want to go old school, I got Gap Band, Daryl Hall, and John Oates. Old school.
How did you learn about the live cast, sir? It doesn't seem like we typically reach your demographic.
Well, I've been on 365 days of radio campaign. I've been on over 1,000 radio shows to tell the word of God, period. And I don't know what you're going through until I come and find out what's going on.
So I got a question. So how did you come to God? Were you raised as a religious man or child? Or
no,
did you
I wasn't.
God later
life, life happened. Life happened. Man, I've been locked up over 30 times. I've been locked up in 30 states, so... It's one of these kind of situations. There's something available that I don't know that's pushing me and keeping me and keep me alive.
I got to ask a question, follow up here. And I know
Come
you
on.
Want to send a message about God and stuff. I just have to rewind and ask you, what did you do to get locked up in 30 different states?
A lot of stuff, man, between domestic violence, kid calling the police on me, y'all, man, I'm not here to talk about what I did. I'm here to talk about what God's doing in me to make the world different. In 2022,
God is in you?
Being
God is coming in you?
Say what?
You said God is in you?
100%.
Oh.
He's fully in you. He's inserted himself completely inside of you.
He's raw. He's sitting there raw.
I'm giving it to you, blood raw. You asked me a question. I'm not adding buds. And that's the funny thing about radio. One thing, people can't listen. They have to Google and understand what you're saying. So while you're talking to me, you're Googling. At the end of the day, I'm telling you my own story. This is my story. This is what God did.
You said that you've come to God. Has God ever come on you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, plenty of times. When I was in a jail cell, I'm facing like 7 years. But God came to my jail cell and changed it. Boom. Time served.
He let you out?
Keep going.
He hooked you up with the bobby pin to pick the lock or anything?
Telling you right now, what they locked me up for, I shouldn't have been in jail for. But at the same time, I got more God moves. Period.
We're abolitionists here.
Would you say, outside of God, is there anyone else that can tell you how to live?
Yes, my father. My father, he's been in the industry for over 20 years. So I come from a radio background. When I was 3 months, I was carried into a radio station. So I know this industry. Before this internet came up, I was the guy who was actually physically playing the goddamn, the digging the dirt to put in the DSL. And that's how old I am. DSL. That's how old I am. You feel me?
I got to tell you. I got to, yeah. It's like, you could say like Pony Express or something, but I got to say. Right.
But you're not with FedEx. It don't make no difference. But same as I was around with Pony Express. I didn't come throw no song what y'all doing, but I'm saying there's people with history that's coming in here to actually prograde and nominate everybody that don't know what you're doing.
Yes, completely agree. But I do. I you've inspired me. Like I want to just bond with what you're saying here because it's really resonating with me. I relate to your experience. I mean, I never was locked up. Although I was locked up because a friend of mine was smoking weed next to me. I got put in jail
for like 6 hours.
Just like you, I was in jail.
No. When you in that, they take your fingerprints. They take your, hey, you in the club. Once you in that club, that's a certain stripe. Only you can work.
And I have, but I have. Since I was innocent in that case, but I have done things I'm ashamed of. Like I was a human urinal, and it just wasn't. You know, you get to a point where, you know, you look up and you say, I need a sign. And finally God reaches down to you and pulls you out of that human urinal situation.
Mm. Wow.
That's my
testimony. Well, all I can say to you is like this, man. I've been locked up in over 30 out of 50 states, and it's not fun being locked up. But when you got the opportunity, a radio platform, and thousands and millions of listeners to hear what you got to say, you got to tell them, it ain't no joke. Do the right thing. That's it.
Yeah, because if you get that opportunity and then you say something that doesn't resonate with people, then it don't fucking match. You know, I'm sorry to use profanity.
Correct.
No.
Keep it real.
People are going to realize that it don't fucking matter. Let me give you an analogy. It's like if you make a cheeseburger, you got to make French fries. If you make pollo salad, you know, carne di sal, anything di sal, it got to go with white rice. If he doesn't,
yeah, come
then
on,
it don't fucking
come
match.
On,
you know what I'm saying, Pastor?
I feel you 100%, and I'm glad you open my line because I'm not like your. I got history. I got, man, it's people that's going to call into the show that's going to hear my name and be like, Pastor Norm, new CEO, I didn't know you had him. Like that.
No, listen, you know, I know you're you're a man of God, and I, to my dying day, I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. I have no, like, you are, I can tell just through the phone that you're a man of honor.
Amen. Yes, I am.
How many gods do you worship, Pastor?
Oh, I don't know who that was. That's not the person who's talking, but that's somebody from the audience.
Yeah,
I don't worship any other God other than the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's it.
We have a guest on.
You made me chuckle because that was cute. That was very cute. I ain't gonna lie, that was cute. I worship the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Period. Point blank. Done.
So you follow three?
The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit is one. God is the ultimate spirit, but he has two different.
Wow.
I knew he needed to be coaxed back into this. Like he was trying to say, I knew if you just poked him a little, he would say, no, they're not three, they're one. Sorry to let that guy go, though. I feel like we could have gotten more juice out of that.
We manifested the old New York onto our show. That was incredible. How did the fuck did that happen?
It could have been one of our callers doing a bit, but I don't know. It felt genuine.
No, I don't think so. I think he just calls random blog talk shows, this guy.
Yeah, it may have been blog talk.
213-WIDE-NUT, that's the number. 213-943-3688.
We haven't gotten like a blog talk straggler in a while, though. That was Carol.
Yeah,
Carol was a blog talk person, right?
Yeah.
No, she was a metal person. She found us through the Twitter.
Oh, yep. Okay.
She's a metalhead, and we were butts. And Carol is still long ago now, too. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's about 10 years. If you, odds are she's dead. I mean, I hate to say it. I hope not, but not wishing it on her. But the odds are not in her favor.
Yeah.
She's just a vile.
She probably hasn't gotten her boost at best. She's unboosted.
Well, maybe she found God, like this gentleman that was just on our phone lines.
Probably at a bedside, right, as the flatline was starting to happen. Oh, Carol.
You came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away, oh, Carol.
Wow. I don't know how to process that phone call. That was something else.
Okay, so everything will be okay. Here's something that makes me feel very old. I saw this tweet that says...
Your age.
2021 is to 2000, as 2000 was to 1979.
Ugh. Yeah, that's the year your boy was born.
I look at things that aired in 2000, like sometimes sporting events, and it wasn't like fully HD then, and the shit looks grainy and it's degraded. You know, a lot of it, like sports stuff, was shot on tape back then,
yeah.
Like Betamax, and it started to deteriorate.
Yeah, even if you watch, watching, for example, Jackass clips from when they first started, it looks so much older than when I remember seeing it at the time, just because of the video quality of the digital cameras in that
era.
Is
this what you do on your downtime, Rob? You're browsing Basquiat and old Jackass clips back and forth?
That was just my reference point of just like what's on DV footage in the mid-aughts, or even just old Metal Injection footage. It's crazy.
Most top-notch cinematography. You guys had great equipment.
Not in the early 2000s we did it. We had the Super 8 cams.
Yeah, that's
like
super.
We had basically family home movie cameras.
He had the Super was shooting the scenes from his building.
No, we were in the movie The Super starring Joe Pesci.
Oh, you wish.
I do wish. That's wonderful. I love that movie. That movie was on Fox 5 WNYW all the time. And I loved it.
You can't watch that edited. There was so much cursing in that movie. You got to watch the reel.
You're right. Maybe I need to find a stream of it, see what they were really saying. I've definitely rented it too.
Was Damon Wayans also in that, or who else? There was like a he was the super, but then there was like a tenant, wasn't there? That was like his nemesis.
Paul Benjamin is the
Paul Benjamin. Oh, I was thinking of Paul Winfield. I was gonna say. No, who's Paul Benjamin?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know. Here, I'll show. I'll show Mr. This guy. See what IMDb says.
There's yeah. Who's that guy in the picture with him? Picking him up by his scruff. Oh, Vincent Gardenia is in this.
Is it Kenny Blank? No, or
that's a little kid who's in a bunch of stuff.
Abdoulaye Ngam, maybe.
Yeah, you keep trying to pronounce that.
I got it. I think. Let's watch the trailer.
Watch the trailer.
An ad before a trailer. Get out of here.
An ad before an ad.
Vincent
Gardini is Joe Pesci's father, right?
Probably. That makes sense.
I gotta watch this again.
Yeah,
it's probably been like 10 years. There he is, Vincent.
They just don't make movies like this anymore.
You mean not a existing property reboot?
I love this music.
Yeah, New Jack Swing.
Look at how high his pants are.
That was the first time Joe Pesci was on screen as the tallest person in a scene.
That hairpiece. Yeah, I definitely want to watch this again now. I loved it.
Panel discussion.
Sure.
Yeah.
You just go through all old Joe Pesci movies.
I can't believe Home Alone came out before. The Home Alone was, what was it, 90?
Yeah,
so
1990. What I don't like about the super, just a little nitpick, but I mean just the fact that he's such an asshole, and then living in that building makes him sympathetic, and like just by the end of the movie, he's like a nice guy, you know, and he improves the lives of the tenants, and you know, these guys are fucking leeches. Don't humanize them.
Yeah.
And they should be sent to prison, not just, oh, you have to live in a slightly shittier place.
Right. I still like the spirit of the film, you know,
yeah.
It's funny, but I'd just rather see landlords like just fucking just punish. Just put them in frog march. Orange jumpsuit.
Joe Pesci should have to suffer that fate anyway, probably.
What did
probably
he do?
Done so. I'm sure he's done.
Was it because he made Gone Fishing?
He won't eat pussy, so Vinnie Paul thinks he should be strung up.
Is that true?
Isn't that like who? Didn't Louis C.K., the great Louis C.K., tell that story about Joe Pesci?
I don't know this.
Rob, you help me out. Wasn't there some Louis C.K. told some story about how he wanted Joe Pesci to be in that Horace and Pete show, and he like went to Joe Pesci's house and they talked about it. Joe Pesci ended up turning him down, but then also went on like a half hour rant about how he never eats pussy and thinks it's disgusting.
I see. So I couldn't find it, but there's someone tweeting saying, I'm a little freaked out by the news that the Horace and Pete, which is the name of the show that Louis C.K. is talking about, the Horace and Pete eating pussy makes you weak bit came straight from Joe Pesci.
There you go.
Wow. That's so weird when people say that. I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
I understand if an individual woman doesn't clean herself or something, that's one thing. But just to say pussy itself, that means you just don't like vagina, I feel like. And that's okay if you don't, but to be so hostile, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very strange. And to just, like, go on a soliloquy about it to a person you just met.
Yeah.
It's extra strange.
He clearly feels very strongly about it. Although
Louis was probably jerking off.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even if not jerking off, like, we know now that he's a repugnant person.
Yeah.
So can we trust his account that Louis C.K. didn't initiate this
That's
rant?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
And I like Joe Pesci, so I'm going to believe that, whether it's true or not.
So here's the full quote from Louis C.K. saying, while I was there, he lectured me about, don't ever eat Stephen's pussy. He gave me this whole thing about never going down on a woman because it makes you beneath her and you can never rise above. He said this whole thing to me, and I said to him, I need to write that into the show, and he let me have it, and it's in the show.
That's amazing to me. That's amazing that someone could actually think that and live in the 21st century. That's just amazing. Beneath you, you're doing a favor for somebody? Cause you, maybe also you just enjoy licking pussy? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
so does he think if a girl gives me a blowjob that she's beneath me now too?
I think
yes,
probably,
but that's
but
how it should be.
Yeah, that's the natural order of things.
That's oh my goodness! What a joyless sex life, right? Am I like that's just
wasn't there like a thing on The Sopranos that like, they didn't respect Uncle Junior because he ate pussy?
Yeah,
so,
and he had to keep it a secret.
Yeah. So it's just that same tradition.
But Joe Pesci's not in a fucking mob, though.
He thinks he is. He lives his life as if he is.
This reminds me now of his beach house that went for sale. It's a Jersey Shore mansion. This was a few years ago now, but
you mean Marilyn Manson's house that we talked about?
No, Joe Pesci. Oh.
You know what happened? He put it for sale because he found out that the prior owners had a pussy eating room.
Well, like from the outside, it looks really nice. A little dated, perhaps.
Yeah.
Like it looks a little 80s, but
I ain't fucking living here, motherfucker.
But then when you look inside, you see that there's photos of fucking Joe Pesci all over there. He's our biggest fan.
Lest we forget.
This
oh,
is really
wow.
nice.
This
is a beautiful deck. Big pool right
the
on the
pool's shaped like a
water.
Corpse. Look at that. What the fuck is that?
That is, I guess that little piece at the tip is like a hot tub.
A jacuzzi, yeah, a hot tub.
It looks like a wrapped up body at a crime scene.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think it's the outline that does that.
Who's got a fucking jetty? He has a jetty at his house. Look at that. A fucking pier.
Look
at
the life.
Beautiful, massive kitchen.
Yeah,
although that dishwasher looks a little old. I mean, that looks like fucking my old ass dishwasher.
He's always out at Italian restaurants. He's never come anyway. That dishwasher's barely his.
Listen to this humble brag, Robert Pazzabini. I got a dishwasher. It's kind of old, but I got
it's
one.
Broken. It's not even fucking usable.
A lot of people don't have a dishwasher.
You're better off than the one I have, I got to tell you. Wait, hold on. I feel like there's more here.
I don't, you know what? I'm never going to hang out with Joe Pesci. I can appreciate his work, even though he seems like a douche.
Yeah.
I want to get on the record and say that. He's a great actor.
I mean, he's a rich person. Rich people have, you know, different moral barometers, let's say. Here's some more photos I found. Here's the one I wanted to show, his home theater room, which is just...
Lethal Weapon 3.
Get out of here.
And that's fucking awesome. I would if I was in Lethal Weapon 3 and I had access to potentially have a pinball machine, I would write that for sure. But all these other posters.
I bet when it gets to multi-ball, it goes, what Leo wants, Leo gets.
And then more memorabilia here. He's done a lot of movies, by the way.
He was so useless in Lethal Weapon 3. Like, he does nothing in that movie. And he's like, or any of the ones he's in. It's just like they got Joe Pesci because he was famous and hot at that time. They could have had that same movie with nothing.
I do give him credit for walking away. Look at his career and Robert De Niro's career. Robert De Niro right now is a fucking joke.
Is
I don't know.
Pesci less of a joke?
I think Robert De Niro did enough to that people can absorb his shitty work, but you know, and still say, all right, he's still Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci did some stinkers, though.
It's not like The Super was an Oscar-nominated film or Gone Fishing.
Right. But at least it's a good movie. Gone Fishing is the one that's trash as fuck.
It's like De Niro waited until the end of his career to do the mailing it in shit. Pesci did it in the middle.
Well, I think with Pesci, though, he realized, like, wait, I don't have to mail it. I don't have to do anything anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't want to work.
He can just sell his house and buy a new one and sell that. Keep
you
doing
just
that.
Do Scorsese movies via CG.
Yeah, just
get a computer to do me.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm stupid like that. Do a movie, break your head, go deaf for 8 years, come out, beat the shit out of you again because I'm stupid.
Remember when he – wasn't he the host of Saturday Night Live the week after Sinead O'Connor tore up the picture of the Pope? And then he came the next week and taped it back together on SNL, right? Am I remembering that right? I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
that.
My God.
I remember, that sounds vaguely familiar, but I wouldn't have guessed it was Joe Pesci. I have no idea.
I believe it was Joe Pesci.
What a joke.
That iconic moment.
Yep, you are correct.
Did it get, like, big applause from the
– Oh, for sure.
Braying seals in the fucking audience.
For sure.
Woo, the Pope is awesome!
The question, though, is, was it the same picture, or did he have to buy a replica picture, then rip it up himself and retape it? Which is almost as bad, sir. How dare you?
He just had Sinead do it. He had, hey, listen, can you rip this one, too, so I can send it back to me?
Thank you.
Well, it doesn't look like it's taped up,
oh,
does it?
Okay, so maybe I remember that part wrong.
Oh, he just held up a photo. Oh, yeah, Joe Pesci wouldn't tear up a picture of the Pope. Come on.
Although, hey, in retrospect, Sinead was damn right.
Look how
I stand with Sinead.
Look how happy he is with him. He can't pronounce Sinead. But
well, thank you,
right, I'm Sinead.
Look how he's so smug. Oh, look at I love the Pope. I'm a good Italian.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I'm a good Italian that doesn't eat any cooch.
Fucking
was he promoting the Super on that appearance? That's the other question. Or was it My Cousin Vinny, perhaps?
Hmm.
He was on 19 times.
Yeah.
Nazi enabling Catholic Church, child diddler. Let's tape that picture back up together.
Yeah, QAnon. Why don't you go after the Catholic Church a little bit, huh? Well, how about that, QAnon, huh? Huh?
Are they listening to the show?
Well, do they even have any fucking power anyway? It's not like they, you know, did anything.
Sure. Yeah. All right, well, we're winding it down. Let's talk about our music break. Every week we each pick a song, throw it on a Spotify playlist, and we call that the RAPL Livecast Music Break. It's really turning out to be quite a fun playlist to jam out. And this week, I went a little different. I did not pick a metal song by a band whose name kind of sounds like a metal band. I guess it's an artist. It's not a band. It's a young woman named Slater with three Y's. And the song is Daddy as Fuck, Daddy AF. And the way I found out about Slater is through the wonderful Spotify algorithm. I was listening to, I forget what I was listening to. Maybe it was like Dua Lipa. Maybe it was like Nightclub, one of those kind of dance poppy things. And then this came up. And I first of all, there was an artist named Slater. But then I dug her vibe. I think you will dig it too. That's my pick. Sid, what did you pick?
You couldn't believe that was the thing that blew you away. Just there was someone. Who
well, I liked her posturing. I liked her vibe.
Is she friends with Cub?
Not sure, but maybe.
Looks like
they may have collaborated.
Cub cocky.
I picked the song I Want to Conquer the World by Bad Religion because early this morning, Jude in the Discord asked what I thought of Bad Religion, and it sparked a nice little discussion about how I said, you know, they have a few good songs. There was somebody I got into when I was first getting into punk, but like I sort of got bored of them pretty quick because their songs are very similar sounding. But there are a few standouts, and I Want to Conquer the World is one of those standouts. That's the one I picked. One of the good ones.
You picked Bad Religion, and I picked The Cult, which is kind of similar.
Hello.
And the song that I picked is not similar really in style, but a cult is a bad religion. and I picked Wild Hearted Son, and there's a story behind it. I just bumped into somebody who I worked with in a record store about 30 years ago and just had a little chat on the street. And it brought me back to that store. And one of my memories of that store was that I was working on a cash register right next to this machine that tourists could come in, and it was right in Greenwich Village. And so flooded with tourists, and you could just play 3 seconds or maybe like 10 seconds of any song that they had, like 40 songs in there. And the number one song that everybody played over and over was Wild Hearted Son by the Cult. And of the songs that were loaded in there. And I heard that song about 11 trillion times, but only those 10 seconds.
Oh my God.
So, but it's a good song. And some of the other songs in there, Outshine by Soundgarden.
Okay.
Fleetwood Mac song was in there. So it was like a wide, like a sort of stripe of only rock, though. Like, I don't think there was any hip hop in there, but it was like different kinds of rock. And I heard that song ad nauseum for one summer. So it kind of locked in my brain whenever I think of that store. But it's a good song. And I like the Cult. Actually, I like the Cult up to about that album, and then there's like two after that.
I get into them. I feel like they're up my alley. But I never really gave them
they're
a
good
shot.
They don't have the letter Y in their name, though. Not even
the mid-80s up to that album, very good. After, I think there's two. There's a 1994 and a 1995 or something that are like kind of, and then they got mad at each other and broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out.
All right, so that's our playlist. And once again, wanted to mention our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. Oh, and before I mention the Patreon, you know, if you want to support us but don't necessarily have the money to afford the Patreon, totally cool. You could always follow us on social media. We post video clips on there throughout the week and other fun stuff. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. And please join our Discord. There's an invite in this episode description. All three of us are in there. We talk all the time. We hang out. We interact. It's really, really, really fun. We have a bunch of different rooms in there. We talk about wrestling. We talk about TV and movies. A bunch of different channels. Thank you.
Is that okay, boomers, in regards to Rob?
Well, it's like AOL. They had rooms and Discord. Yeah. They have channels.
And I want to give a quick shout out to Rob with a second B. Last week we were talking about this beer, and I was apparently pronouncing it incorrectly, improperly. It's pronounced Vorsteiner, like Vakken.
And I think Steiner also.
Vorsteiner, you're right. Vorsteiner. There we go. Highly recommended beer, though. And,
is that the same can from last week, or is that a new can?
That is a new can. I've been drinking this whole time.
It's a prop can. There's no beer. Oh, sorry.
There's water in there. I'm doing the old Warped Tour trick of giving all the bands energy drink bottles with water in them.
Wassersteiner.
Was that?
Oh yeah, on all those festivals, since they have like a major energy drink sponsor, they wanted the artists to look like they're drinking the energy drink on stage, but the artists don't want a sugary drink.
That's
they
surprising.
Just want
I would
water.
Think a lot of those death bands would love that shit.
Well, you had the option, I think, but most bands wanted
water. Blink-182 was taking the Monster Energy drink. They didn't want water.
Maybe or rock.
That's why that dude got cancer.
Oh. But nothing grosser than canned water from an energy drink company.
Energy drinks give you cancer. And now a word from Monster Energy Drink. Our sponsor is
promo code LiveCast for cancer.
That plan's finally coming to fruition.
Oh, you want to exterminate the audience?
Everyone will be like me.
No energy.
Exactly.
We're going to do our top live cast fans of the week. If you'd like to be a top live cast fan of the week, you just got to join our Patreon at the $10 tier. Get everything in the $5 tier, the bonus episodes, the sit column, and that is right now. So how are we doing this, folks?
Do it as if you're someone who wants people to think you're really into Basquiat.
I don't want people to think I'm really into
Well, that's what I'm saying. Invoke that character.
That's okay. Son of a bitch. All right, I want to give a shout out to. Eric. Yeah. Is that good? Does this person look like they're a boss cow?
Yes.
And then when I give a shout out to Eric, I also want to give a shout out to Benjamin. Sounds like a good artist. This El Dudorino, I'm a little too classy for him. Dan R. I don't think so. Sam, I am. Maybe. Mindy Mayer's Kippa. Sounds promising. Xander, now that's an artist name. Rabba Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin. Just pick one. Shasur Sasutis. Ooh, I like how that sounds. Rabba Vampiro. Hugo likes tacos. Well, that's take. Lando Danks. I don't think so. LaCroix. Sounds French. Corey and Scotty H. Now, those sound like some artists. Doug Pigman. Who gave Rob the hickey? I wouldn't know. Scooby-Doo 182. Douglas, who are you, Levison? Hey, guys. It's Josh. Those are our top live guest fans of the week. We love you. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for contributing. And thank you for listening to the show and supporting us. And we had a wonderful 2020. There's one more episode left in the year.
2021, though.
Oh, yes.
And we did have a wonderful 2020. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
There is one left to do in 2020. We just never got around to it. We finished it up.
All right. I'm out of here, folks. I need a timeout.
Horse trainer.
Thank you for listening. We love you. Goodbye.
Doodles.
Recording stopped.
Wow, what an episode. Oh, my God, that caller.
That's great.
Every couple of weeks now, we're getting teeny tiny reasons to keep that blog.